Thank you, Nick, for taking us back. Couldn't help but think how disappointed I was this year when we couldn't have VBS, and look forward for next year when we're all together. But whether we're gathered together in a VBS format or not, that is a beautiful song, and it's something that we pray for in our lives, that heart is protected, it's real, and that it is on fire for the Lord. I ask you a question this morning. Why are you here this morning? Why are you here this morning? That's a thought I ask myself before I leave. Why am I going to services? I ask myself that every Sunday morning on the way to the church here. I'll ask that question. Why am I going to services this morning? And it helps put my mind in the right place. Not on myself, not on my family, but on the Lord. I am here this morning to give God my very best. He is in our midst. He knows our hearts. He knows the thoughts. He knows the intents this morning. What does He see in you? Last Sunday, we talked about the idea of what's changed since you became a Christian. We contemplated a lot of thoughts. I want to build on that this morning. I think all of us understand and appreciate when we obey the gospel that change must happen. You remember us talking about Romans chapter 12 and the importance of not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Changing how we think. When we change how we think, it's then that we change how we act, how we speak. And I think for many of us as Christians, we forget that in our lives. We just want to fit in. And that can't be. God designed us to be different, to act different, to speak different, to be different than this world. And I think it's interesting as we contemplate the ideas, as we thought about around the Lord's Supper, Jesus was sent to die for us. And I'm thankful it's not just the death that we're called to remember, but the resurrection as well. Jesus, before His death, lived a life as an example for us that we could follow in His footsteps. His life was perfect. Our life will not be perfect, but we ought to strive for that, to be as perfect as we possibly can. I've said this before, as Christians, so many times we want to get as close to that line without crossing over. And we forget the importance of a text like Romans chapter 12, as we studied last week, about changing how we think. So we can change how we react to situations. It's no longer about getting as close to that red line without crossing over that red line of sin, but it's seeking out the opposite direction, moving further and further and further away from that line. Our desire grows to be more like God. And that's why a text, as we'll sing this morning, "Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me," should be significant to us. When one looks at us, who do they see? You see, if our desire here on this earth is to make sure that people see me, then we've got problems as a Christian. You see, maybe pride is in our life. Maybe the thought and the idea of the Lord's Supper doesn't affect us as it should. Maybe as we sing a song, as we will in just a moment, about the beauty of Jesus being seen in me, is not that important for us. But oh, how blessed it is when we find those rare jewels, gems in the body of Christ that desire that Jesus be seen in them. The song says, "Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me." All His wonderful passion and purity. May His Spirit divine all my being refined. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. This is one of my favorite songs. It's one of my favorite songs. And if not careful, as many songs, we all have our favorite songs. We get caught up with the melody. We get caught up with how we sound. We listen to people around us and we our mind starts drifting. And maybe it's an aged person that sings out, or like Ailey, who I enjoy so much listening to on Sunday morning. Maybe we get distracted and we start thinking about the things and people around us. And we forget the message of the song. I want to read these lines again and help us to understand as we join our voices together in just a few moments from now, may we understand what we are singing, what we are putting before the Lord. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. You see, the focus is not somebody else, but me. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. All His wonderful passion and purity. Can we confidently say this morning when we raise our heads up every morning before we leave the house that His passion and purity is on our minds? As we go about our daily living and we're living our life day by day, can we confidently say that His passion and purity, how pure God is on our minds? It better be if we're going to sing this to our Lord. May His Spirit divine all my being refine. Some time ago, I watched Heather. She hasn't done it lately, but I would watch her put flour into a sifter and she would sift that. And although the flour might have a few clumps in it, when she was done sifting that on the bottom, it was beautiful. My mind started thinking about snow in Canada. And that process, I would think for just a second, if that was me in there, that would hurt. It would be uncomfortable. We would be changing ourselves. A refining process. You know, we think about burning gold and removing the impurities of it. If that's us, it's an uncomfortable feeling. You see, that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to refine ourselves, but refine ourselves by the standard of His Son. I don't know if you've thought about that as we sing that song, as we will in just a moment from now. In 1 Peter chapter 2, let's turn over there for just a second. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, there's a Bible verse there that I want us to consider for just a moment on this idea and thought. In 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to read just a couple of verses here. We're going to begin in verse 21. When we think about Christ's example, when we think about that, and we think about this song, I want us to think about the idea of what it is, what people meant and what we mean when we ask the question, what would Jesus do? You remember some time ago, that was pretty popular, and we would have WWJD, right? And everybody understood what that meant. What would Jesus do? And we had these little bracelets that we'd put around our hand, and it was a cool reminder as we went through life, as we entered into a situation, there it is. What would Jesus do? And what we're saying is, the example that Jesus left for us, that's what I want to do. What Jesus would do, that's what I want to do. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow, that we should follow in His footsteps, who committed no sin, nor was there any deceit found in His mouth. Who, when He was reviled, did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but committed Himself to Him who judges righteously, who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, see, we're the beneficiaries of this,
So that we, having died to sin, might live in righteousness, who by whose stripes we were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now having returned to the shepherd and overseer of our soul. What would Jesus do? Let me ask you a question this morning. Sitting in the pews this morning, listening to a lesson, singing praises to our God, if Jesus was sitting beside you this morning, would it change how you acted? The things that you do? How loudly you sang? How intently you paid attention to the lesson? You see, what we need to understand and appreciate that although the bodily form of Jesus isn't here, His Spirit is amongst us. And I can't help but study text over and over again, how Jesus was in situations, how intently, how His all was given to that situation that He was involved with at that time. I think I have a lot on my mind. And to study the life of Jesus and to see how in the moment He was there, He was present, He was focused, all His attention was given to what He was doing. You see, it's not just about singing praises, but it's about being laser focused on what is before us. Did Jesus know He was going to die? Sure. Did it consume His ideas and His thoughts? No. He lived every day. He still ate with people. He still moved forward. He was doing the work of God. And I think for some of us, that's our hang up. That's our hang up. We go the opposite direction than what we should. You see, for to this we were called. Christ died for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in His footsteps. When your burden is heavy and hard to bear, when your neighbor refuses all your load to share, when you're feeling so blue, don't know what to do, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you. You see, when we talk about the example Jesus left, we often focus, and narrowly at times, on the trials that He went through. We don't often think about the good times, but we think about the challenging times that Jesus went through. Right or wrong, that's usually what we do. You know, I think about people in this world and how awful they can be to each other. We're seeing it play out in the news time and time again. We see it play out in our own individual lives in the world as well. As we seek to live as a Christian, as we let our light shine, we face hardships. And I'll tell you, I'm not a prophet, but I see those trials and those hardships becoming greater as time moves on. What will we do? What will we do when people are unkind to us? You see, people in the world are generally nice when things are going their way, but how about when they're not? This past week, I had an interaction with somebody. Things weren't going their way. They had a rough day, kind of snapped at me. And we had a conversation back and forth, and he apologized and explained to me what was going on, and I was already over it, but he felt like he needed to come back and correct that with me. We all have bad days. Each and every one of us has a hardship we face, but see, unlike somebody in the world, we don't have the luxury to just kind of forget about it. We as Christians, the world is looking at us, and they remember everything that we do, everything that we say, wrong. And they'll throw it up in our face at every opportunity that they can. Remember back 3 years ago when you said this? Aren't you a Christian? We've maybe had those interactions in our life, right? Somebody's done something to us and we've reacted in a bad way. I think about 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19, where it says this, "For this is commendable, if because of conscience towards God, one," get what it says, "one endures grief suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, it is commendable before God. You see, there are people that deserve the ill treatments that they get. They deserve the consequences that come. But what about those who do not? What about those who face hardships and are treated badly? How do we react in those situations? What do we do when death strikes us, when sickness strikes us, when sorrow hits us? How do we handle that? When we're feeling so blue, as the song says, and just don't know what to do. You know what the song encourages us to do? Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you. Let it be seen in you. You see, how do we treat others who don't treat us well? How do we treat the person who doesn't help us carry our burdens, but then in a week or so have the burdens that they have and expect us to help them in their hard times? How do we react in those situations? Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you. When somebody has been so unkind to you, some word spoken that pierces you through and through, think how he was beguiled, spat upon, and reviled. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you. You see, what it does is it takes us back to the text we looked at in the book of Matthew. When Jesus suffered, when a crown of thorns was placed upon his head, and they took the reed and they pushed it down on him, they put a purple robe on him, they mocked on him, and they spat upon him. Listen, I played hockey for most of my life in Canada, and I guarantee you, we were drawn to fisticuffs when somebody spat in your face. One of the most humiliating things that you can endure, at least for me. When somebody has mistreated you, beguiled upon you, maybe spat in your face, how do we respond in those situations? You see, you let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you. You see, here we move from people just ignoring us and not helping us to people who are seeking to actively make your life as miserable as possible. You know, I heard a preacher once say this, there are human chiggers. Any of you that have a bad case of chiggers know how uncomfortable that truly is. I've experienced that a few times, and I hope I never endure it again. But there are human chiggers. Ones that just latch on to us and try to make our lives as miserable as possible. How do we handle those people? How do we handle situations like that? In Matthew chapter 5, turn with me over there very quickly this morning. In Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 44, it says this. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Listen, who's speaking these words? Jesus. Raise your hand if you think enduring these things is easy. Listen, the last thing that I want to do as far as the flesh is concerned is love my enemy. It goes against every fiber of who I am physically. I don't want to do that. Bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you? Yes. Jesus saying yes there, that you may be what? That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. You see, the consequences, if we don't do these things, there is a consequence. We lose our relationship with our God. This is serious. So when we sing this song, I want us to understand the implications of what we're agreeing to, what we're bringing before the Lord, what we're saying about our lives. You do these things that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you had? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? It's easy for me to love my family. They've been said unkind things to me. Caitlin and I, we go back and forth all the time, rubbing each other. I can overlook all those things. My kids say, I'm sorry, it's done. I don't think about it even. Matter of fact, most times I forget it even without them saying sorry. It's easy for me to do that with my family. But what about others? What about others as we live our lives on this side of eternity? Verse 47, if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? It's nothing. Everybody does this. Do not even the tax collectors do this? Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. You see, Jesus is saying, when you're baptized, there's a change, as we talked about last week. The change, the standard, is now Him. He becomes the standard. The beauty that's to be seen in us is the beauty that Jesus left for us. It's the example that He left for us. He beckons us to follow after Him, to live by the example of David, another men and women of the Bible who have done hard things in the face of hardship. What would it be like to be Stephen and have stones being thrown at you for telling people the truth? I know if that's me, I'm concerned about my family, and to be honest with you, probably the last thing I'm thinking about is saying anything positive about those who are throwing stones. But what do we find Stephen doing? When somebody's been so unkind to you, spoken words that's pierced you through and through, what do? We let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you. Lastly, from the dawn of the morning till the close of day, in example and in deed and all you say, lay your gifts at His feet, ever strive to keep sweet, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you. I want to focus just on that one line there. Ever strive to keep sweet. I'll tell you, that's difficult in this world, isn't it? To be kind, to be gentle, to be humble, to be that person that in a crowded room you shine bright. This past year, one of the properties around the corner from our house had a whole field of sunflowers just north of our house. And they were absolutely beautiful. What they're doing with them, I don't know. But they're beautiful when they're all blooming. They've reached maturity. The colors are vibrant. I can't help but think of that picture when thinking about this line of this song. To be different than the world, to not be focused on the things of this world or people of this world, but to be thinking higher, purer thoughts. I'm going to close with this slide here. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you. You see, a person that's been baptized, that's been kind of pushed that direction, has never been taught that a change is necessary, will usually find themselves giving in to the temptations of this world. I've never been a fan of the let's quickly baptize somebody and let them sink or swim. I've never approached a study that way. I want them to understand the great need of change in their life, that they have to change the direction that they're going in. Somebody that's living in sin, when they obey the gospel, can't live in that situation anymore. There are expectations. There's a change that needs to take place. The beauty of Jesus is seen in them. And to remain in sin doesn't work that way. Right? How do we know that? I say, well, that's being a little harsh, Neil. What does Romans teach us? Turn over to Romans chapter 6, verse 1 beginning. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? That's a rhetorical question. As the writer has written this letter and it's been delivered, it's a rhetorical question. What in the world? Can you continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? You see, one needs to understand when they become a child of God, change has to take place. That's what we talked about last week. And that change is the beauty of Jesus has to be seen in them. It's no longer about you. And that's what we see in the book of Acts. Close with this Bible verse here as far as Scripture is concerned. Acts chapter 2. Let's turn over there for just a second as well. Acts chapter 2. It says this in verse 40 and 42. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved. Be changed. Be saved from this perverse generation. What he's encouraging them to do is to step out, to step away, to walk away from the cares of this world and serve God with all their heart. Step out, step away. And then in verse 41, then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And about that day, 3,000 souls were added together. And then it says this in verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in the fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and prayers. But did you catch verse 40? It's essential that somebody that's about to be baptized understand that a change has to take place. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, Be saved. Step out. Step away from this perverse generation. And after that, what's it say? Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. Now, I've listened to people who have baptized many people. You ask them how many of them are faithful, and you begin to see who's done work and who hasn't done work. You see, it's not just about getting somebody wet behind the ears. There's more to it than that. There's more to it than just getting baptized. There's a life that we are called to live. You see, Christians are changed people. They live by the standard, the beauty of Jesus. Jesus now becomes their example. So I asked you last week, what's changed since you became a Christian? Brother Nick's going to lead us in a song. He's going to challenge us to think about this song. Is the beauty of Jesus really being seen in you? I challenge you as we sing this song to think about your life. To think about the words of this song. And if change needs to take place, then change. Whatever it takes, change. Listen, I'm not oblivious. I know many of us are suffering right now with the uncertainties of life. Brother Jeff, who's with us, is one of those people. I'm acutely aware of what's going on with Brother Jeff, and I'm concerned for him. I'm concerned about his spirits. I'm concerned about his health, but I'm concerned about his spirit. Where is his spirit? Where is your spirit? Is it in tune with the example of Jesus? Are you concerned in your trials, your heartaches that we sing about in this song? The uncertainties of life, how people treat you, all the different things we go through. Study this song this morning with us. Understand the song. This takes us through life and most of the challenges we'll face. How will we respond? How will we react? For the child of God, the question's already been answered. The beauty of Jesus must be seen in you. If you're here this morning and not a child of God, we hope you become one. If you're a child of God and you've not been living as you ought to, the time for change is now. Ask Him to forgive you. If you'd like us to pray with you, we will do so with tender and humble hearts. What will you do with the lesson as we stand and as we sing?